Verulam in the Morning on Tuesday morning, and as part of our continuing series on what changes we can make to help save the planet in the run-up to the COP26 conference over the last 13 weeks or so, we've been doing this every Tuesday morning. Joining us this morning is the Chief Executive of the Youth Hostel Association, the YHA, James Blake. Hello, James.
Hello, Nick.
Hello. Now, first of all, tell us a bit about what YHA does.
YHA is a national charity. We've been around for 90 years, so we were founded in 1930. Many of listeners, I think, will have heard of us. We're a charity that's for all. We have a network of 150 youth hostels across England and Wales. But we've got a particular focus on young people, particularly disadvantaged young people. And basically what we're about is connecting people with the magnificent heritage, culture, landscapes, an environment of England and Wales, and at the same time connecting people with each other as well.
Now, obviously, in the last year, more of us have been connected with the wonderful landscapes of the UK, haven't we? Because we've sort of been forced not to travel abroad. How's that been for the YHA?
Well, it's been difficult. The pandemic as a whole has been difficult because for large parts of the last year and a half, obviously, we couldn't open our hostels at all, when we were in those lockdowns. So that's been difficult, obviously. And I guess, that youth hostelling is about sharing spaces and connecting with people. And that's been difficult throughout the pandemic. However, I suppose, the one positive thing I think that has come out is people have wanted to make the best of what they can. And that has involved going to places in England and Wales much more than they would have done previously. And we're seeing a lot more people who want to stay with us, particularly in our countryside areas and in rural areas. So places like the Lake District, the Peak District, Pembrokeshire, Cornwall. This summer, for example, we've seen more visits this year than we saw in 2019 before the pandemic. So that's been really positive.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And do you think that's going to sustain once we're into endemic rather than pandemic?
Well, I hope so. I think, the feedback we've got is that people have really enjoyed that. And sometimes that's people who've stayed with us before and just making the decision to stay with us for a bit longer this time, perhaps giving up that foreign trip this year. But what we've also seen is a lot of new people coming to stay with us, people who perhaps never thought about a hosteling holiday before, but have come to us and really enjoyed what we've got to offer.
Right. Now, let's talk about flying a bit less then. You've written a blog post for Sustainable St Albans about how we can fly a bit less. What are your instincts? Isn't it, we're so close to all these airports, Luton, Stansted, Heathrow, even Gatwick on the train. And there are all these cheap flights going to all sorts of exotic places. Why shouldn't we?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things, aren't there? One at the moment is we haven't been able to. And I think, my sense is, even though now that some of those restrictions are easing, it's still quite a bit of hassle, I think that is making people think twice sometimes about flying and travel. And also, I think in St Albans, we are fundamentally a place that believes in the environment, believes in sustainability. That's why we have such a powerful Sustainable St Albans movement. And, I think perhaps this summer has made many of us think twice about, maybe not about flying ever, but certainly flying as much as we have done in the past.
So hints for cutting down our flying. If you're a regular visitor to the EasyJet website, for example, to check out the latest deals, one of the things that always struck me as slightly horrific is that some of these airlines actually have this thing which is like, well, find somewhere to go. Like, you don't really know, you don't particularly want to go anywhere. Stick some dates in and see what's available. That seems to me to be sort of wanton flying in a way. Is that the sort of thing that you would think, actually, why don't you just go in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I think, a number of us, and I'd be guilty of this too, perhaps flew several times a year. So that's probably your main holiday. And then sometimes you would take short breaks as well. And I think what I hope actually out of this last couple of years is that what we've seen is people rediscovering, I think, the joys of being able to staycation at home. And that you don't, by giving up flying, you don't have to give up adventure or exploration. You can still have, really adventurous, interesting holidays, but closer to home, which is both supporting organisations like ourselves and benefiting the environment as a result. So, I think it's not saying to people you can never fly, because I think, most people would find that pretty difficult. But if you are going to think about how, whether you need to fly as much and whether there are alternatives to that.
And what about things like sort of nearer Europe, doing it by car, for example? Is that really that environmentally friendly, or should you really, are you just, is that false reassurance that you're not actually getting on a plane?
I mean, I think car is one thing. Of course, train is an increasingly interesting option for Europe. You know, the high-speed network across Europe is now, you know, much better than it used to be. And, you know, I think you can make an adventure out of the journey. And I know last year, actually, that you know, one trip I did manage to do, which we'd booked pre the pandemic, was to go to Croatia by train and ferry. And it was brilliant. You know, we went on the train. We had breakfast in London, lunch in Paris, dinner in Zurich. We went across the Alps on the Bernina Express. We got a ferry over the Adriatic with you know, lorry drivers, you know, who were doing trade. Yeah, so you can do some really interesting things, and that, to be honest, was the best part of the trip. So you know, I certainly we've found that looking to make the journey part of the adventure and do that, for example, by train is really interesting. And if you you know, there are websites like The Man in Seat 61, which are brilliant at you know, giving you ideas for how you can do that.
And train travel in the UK can actually be, I know we all, well, not we all, but a lot of us were commuting into London and so on. That's not exactly exciting. But, and then we sort of put that whole thing on all train travel in the UK. But there are some exciting things you can do around the UK. And there are even kind of summer, almost what you call summer season tickets, aren't there, where you can pay a lump sum and sort of travel around almost unlimited.
Yeah, well, I think this year as well, I think they introduced a like a Interrail pass, but for the UK, because obviously a lot of young people couldn't go and do the sort of interrailing trips that they'd have been used to. So I think so that's great. And again, I mean, one of the things I think you have to do is be reasonably organised. You have to get ahead of the game a bit, because most of the cheaper fares are available early. But if you do that, it can be quite fun. Things like and Google, you know, Google Maps now offer, we often use it for our own, you know, car sat nav, but actually if you click on the public transport option there, you get really good information there about how to get to places by public transport. And it can be sometimes quite surprising. You can look at it and think, oh, I didn't realise you could get there in that way. So I think, you know, it is easier through technology now to find alternatives to the car and to the plane.
Yes, the whole rail timetables and underground timetable or underground routes and so on Google is amazing, isn't it? You can choose the public transport and it'll sort of link the buses and the trains and the tubes and everything else together for you, which does make planning an awful lot easier than it was pre-internet or even pre-Google, really.
Yeah, the days of that very, you know, 1,000 pages A to Z of timetables are gone, I think.
The Baedeker's Guide, even. So top tips then for if you want to plan something that's a bit more of a sustainable trip, give us your top tips.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it's think about places to go that might be closer to where we live. So I think all of us found in lockdown, didn't we, that, you know, I certainly found in and around St Albans and Hertfordshire, actually, just being, you know, places I'd never known about before, wonderful parts of the countryside, really close to home. But it also goes for, you know, trips a bit further afield. So, you know, we've got a network in England and Wales of areas of outstanding natural beauty, obviously our national parks as well. Some of those are within an hour or two of where we live here in St Albans. And, I think many people haven't explored those as much as they might. So I think there's something about you know, finding those places. And then obviously, you know, I would say this, of course, but yeah, we would say that, you know, hosteling is a brilliant way to explore those places. You know, we've got hostels that are in amazing places. So when you get there, you don't have to travel further. You are in the places themselves. Got some incredible buildings, you know, castles and stately homes and buildings in the middle of mountains. And of course, you know, hosteling by definition is a sustainable way to stay at places, because you're sharing space with others in a way that you're not if you're in a five-star hotel. So certainly I would be saying that, of course. But, you know, there is a range of options for people who want to do different sorts of things.
All right. Well, look, there's some good tips there. There's some more, I'm sure, on the blog that you've written for Sustainable St Albans. You can see James's blog at sustainablestalbans.org. James Blake, Chief Executive of the YHA, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Nick.